Als het goed is, moet dit een stuk beter gaan dan gisteren. Want gisteren had ik geen manier om die muziek apart te regelen. Dat was allemaal gedoe. En zoals je hoort, kan ik nu lekker aan het schuifje trekken. En ben ik ook te verstaan aan de andere kant van het internet. Hallo jongens, welkom bij een nieuwe Angry Nerds. Met vandaag Marjolein Hermans in de studio. En we hebben wat bijzondere gasten. Deze aflevering gaat dan ook een beetje in het Engels plaatsvinden. Dit zijn de mensen van Frack. En Frack heeft een jubileum editie uitgebracht. Wij hebben hem al weten te bemachtigen bij de Midway stand. En als je hem ook wil, dan is het misschien zaak om daar even heen te gaan. Maar ik weet niet of ze hem daar nog hebben. Welcome guys. You are the Frack people.
Hello. My name is Skyper. And I work for Frack at the moment. And I'm here with my friend.
Yeah, I'm TMZ, also part of Frack staff.
So, welcome. Congratulations are in order, I think. Because this is it says it's an anniversary edition.
It is indeed, yeah, thank you very much.
How did this come to be? Is this just a regular version, or are there did you bundle them in some way? How did it come to be? Is this what you normally bring out? Because it's quite a magazine.
It is, thank you very much. So normally we don't produce a hard copy release. Normally it's an electronic e-zine available online. But for special events we do a hard copy release. And in fact the very first hard copy release was released in 2001 at HAL 2001 in the Netherlands as well. Hackers at Large.
Oh, Hardy Har. Oh,
yeah. In 2001.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What stunned me was the sheer amount of information that's in here, because I was with Hectic when they started in I think 88, 89, something like that. And it was just a very thin piece of paper cut in half and stapled together. And this is something completely different, but it's a lot more information than I'm used to in some magazine. Is that just for this anniversary edition, or are you always this elaborate?
So we actually try to get a lot of high quality articles submitted, we don't really have a number, I'd say, where we cut off. It depends a little bit. So when we do like a hard copy releases like this, we'll obviously have to abbreviate some of the articles, otherwise they won't. There's going to be a lot of paper to print. So it's also challenging to do all this editing work. And also this year we have this special people from PageTout to help us with the layout of the magazine. So we have like first time reprinted in color and everything. For the online release, there's really no limit on how many articles we have, because it's just an online page, right? So it's free space.
That must be crazy. You can just accept everything that comes in and just...
So we have space. Some sort of a common sense cut off in our heads, I guess. It's more like a... When we see a number, we kind of think it's enough, and then we kind of stop it. Like we use the deadline of the call for papers for this, and if we see that we can push over a little bit more, we usually try to extend it for maybe a month or so more. Or we know sometimes that people are working on their papers, but we know that they're gonna be good papers and they're busy with other things, so we kind of allow this thing to go a little bit over the time limit, but. I don't think we ever had historically, right, a limit on articles, especially because, you know, like I said, online only, so it doesn't really matter. But we do now doing this, logistics comes into play if you want to do like a hard copy release. So you have to, the more articles you have, the more you have to abbreviate them.
Of course, yeah.
So I think this time we found like a good balance on quantity. But yeah, we wanted to give like a lot of content as well. So I think keeping it around 150 pages or so was nice.
So I've been paging through this, of course. But for people who don't know, when you get this magazine or when you go online, what do people get? What's in there?
Okay, so it's heavily focused on cyber and cybersecurity. What you get in there is first you get an introduction, which is kind of the staff's vision about this magazine, and also a little bit about the vision about the future, where we're going with the community. And then traditionally you always have a loop back in there, which is feedback that the staff received over the last year, user feedback comments, and some of them is very funny, some of them is serious, and we take it serious. We differentiate which one's fun and which one is funny and which we take serious. And then in every Frack as well, you have line noise. These are articles that are just not good enough or not long enough for a standalone article, and we combine them together, maybe 4, 5, or 6 line noise articles, and they're all in the section of line noise. Often they're very practical articles. So these are often the articles and knowledge that you can try at home.
And do they have like a common team, so you bundle them together in sort of groups?
No, not necessarily. They are just random articles covering different topics, and they are just too short as a standalone article, mm-hmm. or just not good enough for the quality. Because one thing that we try to achieve in FRAC is not quantity, but quality. So we try to only publish articles that are new and are, you know, are perfect for us. And Line Noise is just a set of articles, 4 or 5, that are just not good enough as a standalone article, but also still have enough value that we do want to show them to the people. So they go to Line Noise. And thereafter, I believe you have the...
The profiles also.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so every year or every release, let's say year, because we're trying to do it every year, but don't quote me on that. We have a main profile where it's an interview that we do with a person from the scene. It really depends. There's like sometimes it's the way that we choose this is there's no process, I guess. Something might happen and we remember some friend and etc. and the people that we liked, and we reach out and see what happens. This year we did a main profile on Geta. Very nice Argentinian hacker. And we will also do online only profiles for the 40th anniversary with like a subset of the questions that are more related to how FRAC influenced some very various people from the scene as well. So we have in mind a few people that we wanted to interview that nowadays they are like some big players in the cybersecurity domain. But they were also like influenced by FRAC during these 40 years.
You have any examples of those? People who, without exposing people if they don't want to, but are there any examples of people who were inspired by FRAC and are now the big players?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be okay to say that. Pretty for much. Example, it was in HAL 2001 where Doug Song was here. He's the developer of OpenSSH, and he recently helped us with some fundraising for the FRAC hard copy. There's Horizon, a member of Vuvu and ADM, who was also here in 2001 and, you know, 24 years later helped us as well with organizing the hard copy. So many people, the community really came together, and everybody gave us a helping hand to make this major release happen, because it's the biggest release we've ever done. We simultaneously leave at 3 major conferences around the globe and then 8 or 9 smaller conferences on 5 different continents.
Yeah, I can fully imagine if you've been up for 40 years, there is people that were in their teens getting inspired by you and are now really big players, of course.
Yes, exactly.
So one moment. Yeah. For the people who are new in the scene, or the people who are just not that aware and are just not too into it, perhaps, what exactly is FRAC?
So FRAC is a magazine that started in 1985, and back then it was heavily focused on freaking and manipulating phone lines and getting free phone calls and modems and things like that.
But I do remember those days.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a thing anymore, right? So.
No.
And
no.
But with the rise of the internet, it transitions more into cyber and cybersecurity and general hacking as well. And so that what it is, it's a magazine that is done by the community for the community. It's always free, even the hard copy is free. And the articles that we collect and accept have to be of exceptionally good quality, exceptionally good standards. It has to be a novel idea, a new idea, something that nobody else has done before. And it has to be related to hacking.
So how do you do the vetting on that? Because it has to be unique. It has to be really high quality. How do you guys know?
Yeah, well, it's not the easiest, I must say. But currently, we have some very strong community members that help us as well with validating and editing also the articles. So we have people from all kind of domains. And this, I would say, it's a very good asset currently for us to be able to have more like of a trustworthy.
It's a community, you know, of sources, basically.
Yeah. So we have more like, let's say, we're more confident with the content. Because a lot of those people, they really like work in different like areas of the industry, and they really really help us like curating this content. I think in the past it was a bit harder as well, but you know, I don't know.
We managed.
Yeah.
Well, since everything is free, how do you get funding to keep this going?
So normally we don't do a hard copy, yeah. And the cost for the online servers is just covered by us. It's covered by the staff, and the time we do this, we like doing this. We enjoy doing this. But you're right. There's a cost associated. Mm-hmm. The printer wants money. Yeah. He's not just happy with supporting the hacking community, and so we are to companies that we know, we offer ad space. And this ad space then pays for the majority of the cost. And you know, we have also then private donations from people who just love to support us and that would like not to be mentioned. They grew up with Frack and Frack inspired them. So for them it's a feeling to paying back to the community and helping the new generation of hackers and scientists. And so yeah, that's how it works.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is. I can imagine if you're in your teens and you started with the first edition of Frack, you're now in your 50s, of course, and maybe you do have the money and a career and you right. can just support. So that, it's the same with us, by the way. We always we're all volunteers and we get this stuff and we collect it all together and it's the same idea, I think. So we'll have to watch the time carefully because there is this political debate coming and I think everyone's to go there, especially us as well. We want to be there, right?
Yeah, the elections are coming up and there's a big question, what are we going to do about cyber in the future? So there's a big debate on it with different political parties.
Interesting.
We're eager to know what they're going to bring, nice. what the plans are. We can ask questions. There are a lot of questions, of course, in this community. So yeah, it's a big thing.
Oh, I'll go there as well.
Yeah.
We're very curious about what they'll bring. And I'm kind of sad that not all parties agree to come because there's a few that they have big mouths on everything, but they're not here.
Yeah.
And I think that's a chance they would have.
I would like
wanted.
To have a more balanced view, but still I'm very curious.
Yeah.
It's
so
nice that we have some of them here.
Exactly.
Though. So right.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes.
Some of them. So that's something. And maybe they'll get more votes from
right,
it.
Right. I mean, it does say something. Yes.
One more thing about Frack then. Is there an article or is there a situation or anything you can remember? So, okay, look, this was a milestone or this was ridiculous or this is really, really worth mentioning. I'm always really curious. You're doing this magazine. You see a lot of things. You meet a lot of people. Is there anything that you can think of from the top of your head? Maybe one from both of you. You say, okay, this one, this is worth mentioning.
Well, so one of them that
you have more information than me historically.
For one of them that's worth mentioning is the Hackers Manifesto. It was first released in the Infrac. After the crackdown on many of the hackers in the US. And this Hackers Manifesto is still true today.
That's history, right?
It's history. It's printed on t-shirt and mugs and posters. And if you read it, even today, it still makes sense and it still matters.
Yeah, it resonates well, I think, with... it's kind of a timeless thing, let's say. You know, like, it made sense then and it makes sense now.
It does.
And some of the wording might not make sense anymore, but you know what they are, you know, like they're word from the air. But
another pivotal moment for Frack was when hacking the stack for Fun and Profit was released, because that opened up buffer overflow exploits writing for everybody. Now it was out in the open and everybody could write remote exploits, and that changed.
I do remember that being in hectic, I think you were the source of that, right?
Yeah, so I mean, there were many competing articles at the time, but it was really the release of Aleph One's article in Frack that got to the most people, and most people refer to that article where they learned how to write buffer overflows.
That's crazy because it's still current right now.
Yeah,
I mean, buffer overflows are everywhere, and it's something that I don't think it will ever go away.
Yeah, it got definitely harder, but also the research got more exciting. So since that article, we had many more articles that take this to another level, from malloc overflows to Fermat string overflows to really tricky bits to get around the current protection that is currently in modern operating system to make these buffer overflows work again.
Yeah, without these articles, I think these other articles would not exist, or they would it would be difficult for them to exist. Maybe they will show up years later or something like this. I think all of those things they push the industry forward. And for the more recent times, we have a good example that is something that is interesting. Is the North Korea one that is in this magazine.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, just a second. There's a truck going by. That's the charm of being on a festival, right?
Exactly.
All the noise and all the stuff.
Yeah. So we have this North Korea article in this current magazine, which is pretty cool as well. It's something that is also, it's let's say more new. So APTs and all those threat actors, they were not really a thing like 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
I guess nobody would even imagine that these things would be existing. And it's a way that we can expose how these actors are functioning in their own states, and I think it's like groundbreaking information as well.
Yeah, and I think it's also that Frax takes a stand there and tells the APTs, you're not hacker, you're not part of this community, and we tell the same to state actors, you're not hackers either, and ransomware groups, you're not hacker either, and you're not part of this community, and you never will. Because you don't understand what hacking is about. It's not about making money. It's not about causing pain and suffering for others. It's not about getting information and about your competitors. That's not hacking. Hacking
makes me think
glory.
About this sticker. It's in Dutch, but it says hacker, yes, criminal, no.
Yes, correct. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a feeling that has been, it's still current actually. And I think everyone in this community feels the same way. You can't learn to be a hacker. You can't go to some course and do ethical hacking and, oh, now I'm a hacker. That's something that's from the inside. And we all share that on this field. I think that's quite beautiful.
100%. All these people here, I think they are part of the same community.
Yeah. So,
I got an important question.
Oh, well, okay.
Are there any more copies? I got colleagues at home that couldn't make it to here, but I'm sure they would be delighted if I bring some of them home.
I have the same one. How do you get it?
Yeah. Okay, well, we can tell you there are some copies left at the Milliway camp, and we are more than happy for any attendees here to take as many copies as they like, because we know they'll end up in the right hands.
Yeah. All right, that's beautiful. Thank you.
We have copies, we have stickers there, so yeah.
We'll be stopping by at Milliways real soon, I think. There's some people that we know passing by. That's the beauty of these camps. People are always very close.
Yes.
And we all share the same values. Okay, guys, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's go and see the politicians lie about cybersecurity because that's probably what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And later on today, there will be more Angry Nerds because we are live at the Y2 2025 Festival.
Hacker Camp.
With a lot of people we want to talk to still.
Oh, yes.
So thanks very much.
Thanks for having
me. See you later. We'll be at Milliways later on.